Hello.
Hello.
Hi, everybody. No, sorry, not you. I'm trying to get the attention of the audience. Yeah, we're going to start the meeting, folks. And so the benefit of the people that are on the phone, I think they said there's 12. We kind of want to keep it as quiet as possible. If anybody hasn't been to my meetings, we don't call out, or shout, or holler. We raise our hand, get recognized, and we listen to everybody. Nobody gets shut out. So we are going to call it to order. It is 6:30. First thing on the agenda is my comments. So let me give you a little update. One of the things that I want to talk about briefly is the pool bathrooms. The pool bathrooms came in very substandard, is my estimation. I'm a project manager for million-dollar projects, so I kind of have a little bit of insight on this. Hired dozens and dozens of contractors. So I immediately, when I took over, I got the board's backing, and we fired Reuben Holmes. It's a disgrace. So we're starting. So the delay is I have to change the permit to new contractors. We have to get the new contractors. I already have a bid on the tile, which is excellent. I have a bid coming on Thursday of an electrician and a carpenter to do the work that's necessary. So we're moving forward as quickly as we can, but I'm not going to do what was done in the past with their kind of work and rush it or not rush it or whatever they called they were doing and having half of it. It's going to be done right when we're done. So it is in progress. I'm not letting it go. I am pushing as hard as I can, but it's going to take some time to do the permit changes and get the contractors. And we also are getting pushback from Reuben. They are not on any strong ground. We had the right to fire them. It's right in the contract, with or without cause, and we did. And they, in turn, now have to turn over inventory, which they shouldn't have had in the first place. It should have been on property here, but it wasn't. But that's history. We can't change it. But I am pushing, and our attorney is pushing, to get a list and inventory of our tile and anything we own so that it can be brought on site and we can move forward. So I apologize. It's adding to the delay, but the outcome is going to be so much better than what it was, and there will be 6 foot of tile in the ladies' room. That I guarantee you. And we will not be over budget. It will get done. And we're going to scale back what was going to be done in the men's room. All of the gentlemen that have talked to me, I have asked, and so forth, we all agree. We don't give a darn. We want it clean, serviceable, working. It doesn't have to be fancy or foo-foo.
It just has to be functional.
We're going to get that done. There's going to be new floor tile, new stall doors, new toilets, new mirror, new sinks, new countertop, new lighting, new fans. But we're keeping the majority of the tile because that will give us the ability to buy the tile for the ladies' room and finish it, because drywall is not going to cut it. Anybody that has any knowledge or any experience, strollers, walkers, whatever, are going to be banging into drywall. In 6 months, it's going to look like a ghetto. So I am not going to have that for you folks. You deserve better. So we'll get the tile. We'll get it in. It's just going to take me a little time. I ask for your patience, and I apologize, but I will make it right. I said the men's room will get done. Everything that we want to do is going to get done in there. It's just not going to be exactly what was planned originally for the men's room, but it will be very, very nice and very serviceable. To tear out tile that there's nothing wrong with, the urinals look brand new. To spend the labor and time and effort to rip off of urinals where there's nothing wrong with them, the toilets, yes, we'll replace them. But and you have to take them up to do the floor, so there's no labor loss. So that's a good thing. All urinals and tile, all of that will stay. A small amount of tile down toward the floor that looks crappy and is old and little beat, all that's going to be gone. It'll have all new baseboard around of a different tile, like an accent tile. So mirror will be changed. Like I said, everything will be done really, really well. I just need a little bit of time, and I apologize for that. The other thing I wanted to go on to is tennis courts. The tennis courts they're not going to happen quickly. It's going to happen. It's going to be done right again. But it's not going to be done real quickly because we need contractors. There was two contractors that bid originally. And thank God for Yuri and her work. We found out one of the original bidders had how many open lawsuits, Yuri?
There were a lot.
A lot of lawsuits for underperformance or non-performance. Really? No, that went in the trash. One bid was left, and I did get a first-class state operating company out of Orlando called Court Services, and they're generating a bid. So we're going to get that bid. So it's going to be a few months, and we're going to flip the pickleball courts to the front. There will be four pickleball courts. The two tennis courts will be in the back. Things will be really nice. The lighting will be good. Everything will be good. It's going to come out nice. But we just, again, if you rush it, it's going to get done in a poor fashion, and I won't stand for that. You deserve better. You deserve to have it done right. What was done a few years ago to put that coating on and it all cracked, that's the kind of stuff that you don't want to do. You want to make sure it gets done properly, and we will. That will be done. We had a brief roving enforcement situation, and by that I mean the gentleman he was very good, and it was going to work out great, but the other job that he was going to do turned into a 40-hour job with benefits and a lot more attraction, and he just didn't have the stamina to do both. So he did work last night. He did a great job, but unfortunately he can't continue. But that's just a small setback. We will replace him. And I've already got people who I've called. I've called some services. They supply people. We will get someone. We will have a covenant enforcement person. It may take another week or two to get it back on track, but it will happen. It's in the budget, so there's no increased expense for anybody. It's going to be taken care of. So we will get that done. The playground. I had a major safety problem in my mind. That's the way my mind works. If you go up there and you look where the kids go up the steps and turn to go through that tunnel, that platform has sharp metal edges sticking down. And I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, yeah, 4-foot-tall kid racing after another kid hits that and peels his scalp right open. I said, you got to be kidding me. Anyway, I called the people. They were very gracious, and they're going to take care of it. They're going to put a very severe rubber bumper on all of those places where someone can get hurt. There's also some unevenness under that surface, the AstroTurf surface. They're going to take care of that. They do guarantee that entire surface, the underlaminate, the entire thing for 10 years. So if we have any problem with that, they will take care of it. They also showed me where there's a built-in drain system. He showed me on his plans. There's a built-in drain system, so the fact that there are spots that are a little low, the water will drain. It won't pool. So because I pointed it out to him, I didn't like the fact that there were some low spots. And all. He said, but we will fill them. They can peel it back, put the compounds underneath, whatever they need to put there, and they'll level it off. So there were a few things. They're going to take care of it. They were very gracious, and we'll move forward. There was one item on that playground. I don't know if you folks have even walked around the playground, but there was something there that just gave me nightmares. There's a monkey bar thing where you grab the handles and you walk on tiny little bars up about 4.5 feet, like a little boy or girl walking up there. And I'm picturing, as I was a young lad, running up there missing and finding myself straddling a bar like this. I can't imagine what it's designed for, but I think it's dangerous. And if some little kid gets hurt on that, they're gonna just clean our clock. And I want them to design something so the thing stays there, but they put a liner on it so they can run up and down in safety, because I don't want some kid to have his voice get higher because he's running up there and comes down on that. It's a scary thing. They could be coming from the pool, slippery feet, whatever. Bingo. So anyway, they're working on that. They're going to design something, because that's the way I work. It's got to be safe, because we're responsible. We put it there. So if they get hurt, it's our problem. So that'll take care of it. They'll take care of it. Like I said, I do have a company that wants to talk to us about supplying the covenants enforcement people, as well as individuals that we're going to interview. Other than that, Basically, we're trying to feel our way through a few growing pains here and there. Obviously, a lot of things have changed in the last few months. The insurance, the pool bathrooms, just general provisions of all of our rules and things. We're going through all that so we can clean things up and bring them out to you, proposed that what we're going to change or what we're going to fix, because we want it to work. We want it to work for everybody. We're a board, and we don't have subjects. We have neighbors. We're all in this together. We don't rule you. We talk to you, and we try to run things because you don't have the time. That's why we're here and you are there. We're no different than you. We live here. We all want the same thing, and we don't want to rule over anybody. It's all about I have time and background to do things, and that's why I offer up my time. So we're going to make it as good as we can. We're going to stumble. We'll make mistakes. I have erasers on my pencil. I expect you to call me and say something if something's not right. We'll work on all we can, and there's a lot going on. So just bear with us, and there is a box right there that says for the board, right out there, metal box. I'm the guy with the key. You want to get directly to me? It's as easy as pie. You write up what you want. Put it in there any day of the week. I check it all the time. Just do me a favor. People have put in a bunch of no name, no phone number. I mean, I love the suggestions, but I really can't talk to you if you don't put a name and phone number on it. So kind of give me a chance to come back and discuss it with you, because you may have a great idea, but I need to expand on it. I need to really get with it with you. And I got to tell you, some of the smartest people here are sitting in the audience. They got background. They got knowledge. Okay? And I want to know that knowledge, because it'll help us. It'll make our job easier if we all work together. So this is where I'm coming from. You can reach me. The office can reach me. I live right around the corner, just like you guys. I'm here for you. Let's do this together and make it the best we can make it. Okay? The next thing we have on the agenda is we've got a bunch of minutes to approve. So we'll start with that. We had a board meeting November 29th. Has everybody had a chance to, if they wanted to, review the minutes? Okay. Can I get a motion then on the approval for the minutes of November 29th?
I'll make a motion to approve November 29th minutes.
Okay. Can I get a second on that? There is a second. Can I get a vote from the show of hands, board of approval of the minutes for November 29th? Show unanimous. Thank you. All right. We have the special board meeting we had at Holy Redeemer December 5th. Any comments or anything? We all good on those? Everybody had a chance? Is there any discussion on them, guys? Okay. Can I get a motion to approve the minutes from December 5th?
I make a motion.
Patty? Can I get a second? Yuri seconds. Can I get a vote? Show of hands, everyone.
December 12th, just to clarify, right?
No, December 5th. The emergency meeting.
Yep.
Emergency meeting. Okay, yes, I get a second on that. D is seconding. Can I get a vote for... How do we do that? I just messed up. Yuri seconds. Sorry. You raised your hand. Okay, you got ahead of me. Okay, can I get a show of hand of votes to approve the minutes on December 5th? Yuri? Yeah, okay, unanimous. Okay, all right, now December 12th, Mark.
All right.
Special board meeting December 12th. Anything anybody has for that? Are they okay with the minutes on December 12th? Hearing no discussion, I ask for a motion to approve the minutes from December 12th.
All right, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from December 12th.
Okay, can I get a second on that motion? Yuri, a second. Can I get a show of hands on voting to approve the minutes for December 12th? Okay, that's unanimous. All right. Special board meeting January 6th. This one, anything? Anybody have anything?
21st.
I like the 21st.
December 21st.
Oh. Oh, off the agenda? Okay. It's in the pile, though, Lois?
Yeah.
Okay. I will go for that. Let me look here. Oh, sorry.
All right.
I think. I have it. Okay. December 21st. Yeah, it's not on the agenda. Okay. Minutes on December 21st. Any discussion or issues with that? Hearing no discussion, can I get a motion to approve December 21st minutes? Anybody? Dee? Or Patty? Okay. Patty makes a motion. Can I get a second? Yuri second. Can I get a vote? Show of hands on approving December 21st minutes.
Okay. All in favor?
Okay. We are approved unanimously for December 21st. I'll make a note on my agenda, December 21st. Okay. Now January 6th. Our meeting on January 6th. Any discussion or changes or thoughts on this?
I have
sure, Neil. What you got?
Quite a few people reach out to me in regards to adding the person who covenants person to the budget that it didn't follow certain guidelines.
Okay. Well, before we get to that, is that something you're tagging the minutes to, or is
well,
it other discussion?
I just wanted to bring that up.
Oh, yeah, we'll bring that up. Okay. No, we'll bring that up. This is just the January 6th minutes.
Okay.
We agree that what took place
I know that was
is recorded properly. So we'll do the January 6th minutes. Can I get a motion to approve January 6th minutes? Bill? A second. Tim Graham? Can I get a vote for approval for January 6th minutes? All in favor? Unanimous? Okay. Minutes on January 10th. Discussion. We had a workshop, and which led us to believe we need more workshops. I really thought this would go much quicker, and we spent a couple of hours, and we found out we barely scratched the surface because there's a lot of little things. And I, for one, do not want to just throw it together in a quick fashion and say, "Oh yeah, we'll just get it all and throw it away." We're going to work on this again, possibly at least a couple more workshops. But it's not going to affect us in our functions in this community. It's just something we're going to clean up in the way of covenants, rules, all of that sort of stuff. But anyway, January 10th, any comments or discussion on that? Then I would ask for a motion on the to approve the minutes for January 10th. Yuri makes a motion. Neil makes a second. Can I get a vote to approve the minutes for January 10th? We have unanimous. Okay, thank you. We're good with that. And with that, Mark, I will let you do your manager's report. So far.
All right, just a quick update on a few items. I think Joe covered a number of the items that I had on my manager's report, so I'll skip over those. Just to update everyone, we recently have been dealing with some weed control issues and some fungus in the lawn, so we've been hitting that on our Friday application. And then we also completed the shrub fertilization last month. And then they're currently right now putting down a weed and feed lawn fertilizer to try to really attack the broadleaf weeds in the lawns. We're also going to receive in February a fire ant bait blanket application. Fire ants are starting to pop their ugly heads up here with this time of year. We have had some repairs to the fountain pump. The suction line had to be replaced. We had some corrosion at the pump area, and we've got that repaired and replaced. We also had a couple of time clocks, one at the front entrance with the lighting. It failed, so we replaced that, and there was also a time clock over at the pool for lighting over there that was causing some problems, and that was also replaced. Joe alluded to it, but at some point we're going to need to schedule some additional workshops for the guidelines and the rules and regulations. Also, several months ago, the board approved, because Lois was starting to have a few problems with her computer, and it finally was creating too many problems. So the board had authorized several months ago for us to purchase a new computer for Lois, and that was done a couple of weeks ago. We also installed a new firewall hardware and software that was installed. It was suggested that now that we have a cloud-based database, that we have a much more secure network. And so we added that those features.
Mary Graber.
What? We added those features to our networking office network here. As Joe mentioned, we also had the golf cart has been set up for the compliance officer. When we do find that individual who will be working in that position going forward in the future with appropriate safety, flashing lights, and a spotlight, and so on and so forth. So you may have seen him around last night, but the golf cart is all set up for that. We're in the process of working on the end of year 2022 audit, and shortly we'll be working on the workers' comp audit that will be coming up in the next month or so. And I think the other items Joe has covered, so unless there are any questions that you have about some of the projects and things that have been going on here.
Anybody on the board? Anything?
Where is the driveway aprons?
We have not started any driveway aprons yet. There is some funding that was included and as well added to the multifamily, so we do have some funding sources for that, but it's very limited.
Do we going to inspect them to see the severe ones or something? Or
The maintenance committee last year had identified the worst ones, and they actually did a triage and identified, I think there were three or four different categories of damage, and then so we'll certainly address the worst ones first.
Okay, and is there a time frame or any thought process on that?
I would say probably within the next 3 months we would plan on getting those.
What's our funding going to cover, by the way? I'd never analyzed it.
Well, again, the pricing of that type of stuff is increasing and it's changing on a daily basis. So, but it would, typically it would be the
house, right?
I'm sorry?
The house.
Yeah, no, this would be, we would do a contract out. Sidewalk work we're doing in-house, and we have replaced quite a bit in Greenwich and in Brighton in the last month or so. But typically a driveway apron is anywhere between $3,000 and $5,000.
Mm-hmm. So we set aside $7,000 to do the single-family homes, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that... So that money's coming from that $7,000.
Yes.
Okay.
And we have $5,000.
One or two driveways.
Yeah. Okay. And then have to budget for more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any other projects we're looking at? Okay. All right. Report on CDs and investments. Oops. My head was facing the wrong way. I know.
And Tim can jump in as well, because as everybody knows, Tim has been handling these very well over the years, and I'm just taking over. We currently have no CDs maturing until March of this year, so everything is status quo at this point in time. There were some CDs that were cashed in December. One was for insurance money, and it was actually money that was from our insurance funds that we collected year to date, and that was cashed in December to help fund our insurance payment that we had in December. So it went towards the correct item. And once those CDs do mature in March, I've been working with Tim on that, and we will make arrangements to renew those or turn them over or depending on the funds that are needed at that point in time. So that seems to be pretty status quo at the time. And investments, I've been working closely with Tim. The transition of the Treasury is not an easy thing, I'll let you all know. It's taken a lot of time to put everything together. And one of the things that we've talked about is this year, as you all know, we're collecting a lot of money for insurance premiums for 2024 and also insurance savings fund. And we have a plan that as we get that in on a quarterly basis, it's significant enough that we're going to try to turn it over into CDs as quickly as possible so that we can gain some additional income from that. So we're working on creating that. We have a plan to transfer it into its own separate account so that we can track it accurately. And that next year, when it comes time for our insurance payment, we have all of our money ready and available and at hand. So we're planning on that so that it's a big number. It's become probably one of the largest items in our budget, and we have to plan accordingly. So that's as far as investments. And as far as delinquencies, as of today, we do have some homeowners that have not paid There are first quarter assessments that were billed December 15th that will roll over into 30 days starting tomorrow. There has been a lot of confusion. I've gotten emails and phone calls from various residents, and I apologize for the confusion. It's been a very challenging time with the changes in budgets, and I made a mistake on the math. I apologize for that, too, for the single families. So we just ask that everybody pay their first quarter assessments as billed, and then the billing for everything.
Leo and Helen Langenbach.
Take care of itself the rest of the year. So we just ask that everybody that may not have paid, please pay those as quickly as possible. We don't have at this point in time, as Tim started to go over in December or November, the actual financial statements from the previous month. We don't have those available because the financials are being audited for the end of the year, so the final ones are not yet available. But as what I did do is we have a record. So I know that we have a tight budget this year, so I actually looked at what we spent in 2022 versus what we budgeted in 2023, and we did, if you subtract insurance, which is a wild card, and the roving patrol, we do have all of our expenses that we would have done in 2022 covered. So to answer another question that I've gotten from several residents, none of our services are being cut back. Nothing is being cut back. Nothing is being taken out. Everything is the same as what it has been, and we do have the money in the budget to fund that. So I want to leave everybody assured that we are planning accordingly. That's all I have. Does that?
Okay. Okay, yes, sir.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. No. What's your name, sir?
Brett Hargrave, 2300 Southwest Texas.
Thank you, sir.
The fee is that you cash to pay the reserve insurance.
Uh-huh.
Now, if that has been reduced, are you replacing that to the CD?
We will as we collect the funds for 2023.
Well, sir, I think he's confused. Did the money that was taken out,
yes.
Tim was forthright enough to plan a year ago to have excess funds, and they were the ones that were in that CD. But that money was needed to pay the $547 for the buildings that was going to be $850, and it ended up, thank God, at $547, which was $100. Right. It was $100. Right.
Was when they increased or placed.
Right. So the thing is that $150 was there to take care of a partial increase, which it covered. But the problem was it almost was through the roof. So what he did was he covered that increase, but that money is not going to come back from anywhere.
Sure.
What we're doing, though, it is going to be replenished in this fashion. The quarterly dues, they were going to be at this higher level. They're down a little bit. And the thing is, money in there is going to build that same 25% excess that we're hoping it won't exceed. So in that way, that will be put back. It'll be put there for next year, okay? It'll be put
as,
in
as
CD.
Available.
As available, yes. Anytime it's available, we put it in, okay?
Check it out, and maybe you'll put it back.
No.
It's going to be put in the savings.
We have a plan.
Yeah.
We have a plan that as we accumulate it on a quarterly basis, that we will roll it over into a CD at that time. So, but we have to be careful. The first one might be able to go for like 6 months, the next one for maybe 90 days. You know, we have to have the money available in December of the end of the year. So we.
In essence, you're not going to put it back. You're just going to raise the.
No, sir, you're not getting it.
May I explain it?
Go ahead.
What we had in 2022, what we had in December, was what we paid 2022's insurance in December 31st, January 1st of 2022. Because now, and we knew how much it was going to be, so we built into the budget for 2022 enough money to replace that, thinking that would be our insurance bill at the end of 2021. Part of it, yes. The rest of it just sat in the bank account here, earmarked for insurance. And now we took it out. Now we took it out, we paid our insurance, and now we're putting it back.
Or the
bank, depending on whatever. We're putting it back in as we collect it because we budgeted so that we collect enough money this year to pay the potential insurance policy at the end of the year.
Right. So the insurance refund, when you change insurance companies, then
Well, there was no
wasn't a refund. We were going to pay $850,000. We ended up paying $547,000. That $300,000 doesn't exist. Where that was going to come from? Double assessment for the multifamilies and much higher quarterlies. We have no assessments. We have no extra high.
No. We had budgeted to pay it, but we were able to get a different insurance policy, so we didn't have to.
So in essence, you didn't have to go on to the CD.
The CD money was not extra money. The CD, how much did we collect for insurance last year? $399,000, roughly. $400,000. So about the middle of the year, when we've got sitting in our little insurance kitty, because it's all set aside on a line item, so at the middle of the year, there was a couple hundred thousand dollars in there. So Tim said, we're going to take that $200,000 into a CD so that it matures and gains some interest, so then in December we can cash it and we'll have a little bit more money. So that CD that was cashed in December was not extra money. It was money that we collected the first half of the year to pay the insurance at the end of the year. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Then when the bill came due in 2023, then
we had that CD of $200,000. We had the other $200,000 that was left in our bank, and then we had to come up with another $300,000.
Well, then we got a new insurance company that cut that rate.
No. Stop again. Hold on. Let me run you through the series of events. We had the $400,000. We got a premium of $900,000, so we scrambled to think about how we were going to pay it. Fortunately, we never did pay it. But we cut another policy that was the total on it is $626,000. Okay, so we saved $300,000. So now we have $400,000. We need $626,000. So we were $226,000 short. Tim and everybody else found ways to find that $226,000. Some of it came from surplus cash. And we had to take some of it from other places in order to pay that $626,000 insurance premium. Already been paid. So now we need to take all of our assessments in to replace that money so that at the end of the year, we can pay for our new insurance policy.
So we'll take the $620,000 and then adjust that over the year for every homeowner.
Right. And that's what... Right, and originally yours went up quite a bit, but because you saved a lot of money on that, it went down. However, because once bitten, twice shy, okay, this year we got stuck, and we didn't know where we were going to come up with this money. So now this coming year, we've planned, based on what our insurance agent told us, that we should build a savings fund of 25% to offset increased premiums next year. So we could have given you a much larger decrease in your quarterly dues. However, what we did was, we were like, you know what, we need to be smart. So we are starting a $248,000 insurance savings fund, which is also coming out of your quarterly dues. That's part of your dues. That's going to go into this insurance account so that next year, if the policy comes in at $900,000, we've got $626 plus $248, so we won't have to scramble for money. And if things change and it comes a lot less than that, then we have money that we can spend next year.
I see. Thank you.
Okay. I hope that because there's been so much confusion about it. Okay.
Okay. All right. We're going to go on to covenants report. Covenants committee. Who's doing the covenant?
There wasn't any.
Oh, no report?
There was, the board didn't meet in a cut, so there's nothing.
You want me to do covenants?
Yeah.
There was a covenants meeting in December. I'm doing it because Carol's not here. She's now the covenants chairman in December. And there were three fines that were reviewed. Two of them were overturned, and one was upheld.
There's violations here. Is that a violation?
Oh, but that's upcoming.
Okay.
That's upcoming.
Okay. All right. So that takes care of that. So next was ARC committee report.
That's me.
Yeah, there you go, ARC.
The minutes are in there where everything's go going fairly smoothly. We like to ramp up, go around and see the violations, and maybe want to do an email class, letting people know that some of the just reminders of some doing for a change request, and not just taking it on themselves. It's just a reminder. I think that would be helpful.
You can accommodate that, right?
Yeah.
Just say, please read your covenants and rules. I think one of the things, I don't know who proposed this, but you might have. I think it's a great idea, but tell me, I think it was yours, and I don't want to steal it, but I want to mention it. When people come in now in the future, whether they're leasing or buying, I think we're missing something. They get papers, and the realtors tell them stories, and it's really not realistic. I think it should be mandatory that they come in here, sit down, and are given a detailed understanding of the Meadows rules, regulations, and covenants, so that if they want to buy here, they're going to know what they're doing. And if they say, oh, I can't live with that, well, thanks for stopping by, folks. Because I had somebody out there tonight that just couldn't believe we have rules about big van. Sorry, it's just one of the rules. Sorry, you move in, the community does not adapt to you. You adapt to the community. It's the way it works. Sorry, it's just the way it is. Yep. And I've had that in the last HOA. But I think it was your idea, right?
Yeah.
They have to come in and meet so that with whoever we designate and covenants people, whoever. ARC, whatever, have a meeting and say, this is what it's all about, folks. So if you're going to move in here, you have to understand the rules. It's not going to be, oh, yeah, the rules don't mean anything. Yeah. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, my personal opinion is at least two people should sit down and interview any new residents coming in. One of those people should be Mark. The second person should rotate among the board members and all of us who participate in those interviews.
Mm-hmm.
There's a package of information. People have to sign that they understand the rules and regulations and the covenants. But they don't ever see them. They don't ever get the truth about what they are. And we're not talking about a whole lot of time to do that.
No, but they've got to really sit and read and look at them and ask questions. Because they come along 6 months later, you're sending them letters and find, why? Well, you know, I didn't know that. What do you mean you didn't know that? You got a packet that told you that. Oh, I don't know, nobody reads all that.
Many HOAs in this area are doing that.
Yeah.
They do interviews.
Yeah.
Another thought is to, when you guys have your village meetings, maybe our can go over there and just do a little blurb.
Sure.
Just reminders. I don't think people intentionally do things.
Yeah.
And then not know.
No, it's not. I don't think people are malicious.
No.
They just used to. Oh yeah, you got to sign it. You go on the internet and you go. You have to accept all the rules. It's 14 pages. Yeah, I accept. Boom. Nobody reads it, and they don't read our paperwork. And then they're. That's against the rules. I mean, they couldn't believe it tonight. That was against the rules. Yes, it's against the rules. Sorry, but it is. Yes, ma'am.
I think we owned a place here for many years that we rented.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think you're going to have to give special attention to people who rent units out.
Oh, same thing for them.
But we have rental agents, and by the time they get to you, they've signed a lease.
Oh.
So I think you need to, in some way, I don't have it in my mind right now, that's going to be an issue. We were always very cooperative. We used to say, throw them out. You know?
Yeah. Right.
I think we can identify them and get to them.
So, but you have to.
Well, you're saying that when your rental agent has these people without ever really knowing all of our substance and rules, they have them sign a lease and then bring them here.
Well, they give them the rules. Of course, they give them the rules. But I'm saying by the time they show the apartment and sign the lease, because it's not a change of ownership, you're not going to know about it.
Well. Well, they do have to, I do have to sign every lease.
Okay.
Yeah, it comes to, but we don't see the people. I'm signing papers like this and I'm saying, I don't know these people. I don't know what the story is. I believe the lease people should be just like a buyer if they're going to lease. Before they sign that lease, your leasing agent has to know with the Meadows, they have to come here and do the same thing as a buyer.
I totally agree, but I'm saying it's going to take an extra step.
Yes, ma'am, you're right.
At the landlord.
Yes, ma'am, you're absolutely right.
I have to tell them stages.
But they're a renter. Why should we do it? That's really her responsibility. She's the property owner.
Well, yeah, I get that,
why
Bill.
Are
but
we taking our time to take care of
Bill,
to make them money.
Got it. Point is that if you want something done, you have to do it yourself. These people may be busy. They may work all the time. They may not have the time.
I don't rent anything anymore.
Oh, you don't? The point is, but we then take the responsibility of knowing we did it. If it's it, landlord did it. Okay, landlord did it. So I'm still signing blindly to approve a lessee. If Mark and I or Mark and Tim or Mark and whoever meet with the people, we told them. They have no excuses. They really knew what was going on. I agree that we need to do the people that lease or buy right at this table.
I totally agree with that.
Absolutely. And if you can't participate, that's understood. You're a good boy, Bill. You can do what you want, but we're going to meet.
Buyers, I'll happily participate.
Okay. Well, we'll keep you for the buyers, and I'll take the lessees. I've watched where people leased, and it was a quagmire and a nightmare. When I moved in, it was that way.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
So we're taking the onus of responsibility of the owner of the property.
But they are not the Meadows. You got to remember something. You're adding a level of your responsibility, like they're part of the Meadows. They're a resident. No. They may be a landlord, but they are not part of our governing body. We're saying a board member and Mark meet with them. Now you're saying a third party that's not even on a board or a responsible person to the board to do that. And how do we go back against them? We have to do it. We can't segregate that power out to a landlord. The landlord, their incentive is to rent the place. Let's take that off the back. Let's
so
get this off.
Do we need a motion for it, or do we just follow
it? I think a lot of landlords,
Bill, are not residents.
Yeah, exactly.
Third
but
party.
They own it.
They own it.
They own our property. They're obligated to follow the rules.
Yeah.
No,
and it's not our job to make sure their tenants follow the rules.
Duly noted.
Job.
Duly noted, but I think as you can see,
okay,
Bill,
that's fine.
Yeah, you're one out. You're one out. So, and I respect your opinion, but the rest of us want to do it, and I think the people would rather see us than subrogate that out to people that we don't even know. Okay, so, and we don't need a motion on that.
I don't think so.
We're going to be working on the rules and things.
We need a process. And
yeah. That's part of the rules. Yeah. I think when we do the workshop on the rules, this is definitely something we have to do.
Right.
We'll build it, and it'll happen. So we just we'll make that happen. All right. Anything else for ARC? Don't you have somebody replying? You replace somebody? Oh, it is. Okay. Oh, appointments. Got it. Sorry. Okay. All right. ARC committee report. Communication. Is Tim here? There he is.
We had a meeting on Tuesday, January 17th. Most of that meeting was focused on the content for the upcoming newsletter in March. We're also looking at, we understand that the audio system for listening in or recording is somewhat inadequate. So we're looking at, maybe some things we can do to improve that.
Could we look at Zoom and using the TV?
Could. I think the issue is that, if you Zoom, you're going to end up using a computer. And our feeling is that the audio going into that computer isn't going to be nearly as good as the system we have right there. One of our committee members has some expertise in this area, and we're going to talk through it and, see if there's something we can't do.
Tim, with smart TVs, there's nothing that can be done, on a so people can actually see as well as listen. Anything that can be done on that?
Well, most smart TVs don't really have a camera on them, so you could display on a smart TV, but you can't really, So that's why you kind of need a laptop that's got an integrated camera, or even just a separate camera.
Well, yeah, all right, maybe I'm going backwards. Maybe I'm thinking of the TV for us. We're not going to look in their home. Them to see us, is there a way we can use a camera so they can see the meeting and listen?
Exactly. But yeah. It really comes back to the audio because, you know, it'd be great to be able to see what's going on, but I think the key is being able to hear what's going
on. Of course. Yeah, no, I agree
it
with
would
you.
Give us, you know, using a Zoom or something like that would give us the ability to mute everybody so we don't have what's happening now is where people are speaking up and it's interfering with your meeting and it's interfering with the other people trying to listen.
All right, well, you said you got somebody that's got expertise, you're going to work on it?
Yes.
All right, well, that's good.
Right.
Yeah, as long as we're trying to get somewhere, that's nobody can expect more than that. It's a work in progress. You know, it'll take a little time. But, yeah, we would love to make it better for the people that are listening. And like I say, if there's some way, if we can use this and the listening gets better or something like it and the listening gets better, is it possible we add a video factor? So this will cover the audio. Is that something you can think about? Or?
Yeah, but, I mean, cameras are cheap.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be expensive
outlay,
you know, for a video camera.
Yeah. I'm just thinking. My mind spins. I mean, shut up. Yeah, people are. I'm almost, because I have tons of Ring cameras everywhere, you know, properties and buildings all over and so forth. And it's easy. I mean, they're great. You know, you put a Ring camera up there and we have some way to hook people into it with a Ring app. And they're just relegated to that one camera and so forth. We can turn it off when there's no meeting. It's not an expensive thing. They download the app, the Ring camera's up there. We plug it in for meetings, unplug it the rest of the time, and it's over Wi-Fi. And all they need is an app. And they go Meadows House meeting, and they just, well, there it is. There's the meeting. You know, I'm not saying that's the way, but it is a thought, and it's easy. Yeah. Okay. Good job. All right. Communication committees. Covenants violations. Who's working this?
You should have paper. Do you have paperwork?
I have. All I have is what's on the agenda, unless I screwed up.
No, because I don't provide it to the
board. Oh, you don't you?
This is. Good morning, Mother. Thank you.
Okay, so we need to just approve this. Mm-hmm. Can we vote on it?
Yeah.
We call it V22. Is that it?
Yeah. And we need a motion and a second.
Oh yeah, of course. We nomenclature it V52.
Yes, because we're not.
I get it. Or V22. Nope. I get it. We follow the rules here, folks. Okay. We have a covenants violation where it has been researched. The people are repeat offenders, if you will, without trying to be derogatory, and have been given many chances and still don't follow the rules. I need a motion on V22 to proceed with a fine. Can I get a motion on that?
So this will be the first fine.
Yeah, this is the first fine.
Warning, this is the second.
Second.
This is a fine.
This fine would be $50.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll motion to fine.
Okay, we have a motion from Yuri to go forward with the fine. I need a second.
I'll second.
Tim will second. I need a vote from the board on approval. Show of hands. We are unanimous. Fine. Okay, appeals, request to have late fees and interest removed from account. Owner stated this was due. Okay, I thought you told me about this.
Yeah, you looked at this one, Joe.
Yes, you did.
He's been late only one time before in 2019. And this is the one.
He said he didn't get it.
Email, so.
But you do email him.
Yes.
Okay.
Our bookkeeper does.
Okay, so the gentleman is saying that he didn't get the physical mail and he was late in making a payment. Yet he gets his email and acknowledges he gets his email, which is as good as getting a mailed statement. So, you know, logic kind of says you get the email. I mean, it's because you don't have a paper, it doesn't mean you get out of jail free. It's kind of a, at least that's the way I look at it.
Is this a quarterly payment?
I'm sorry.
Yes.
It's a quarterly payment.
Right, yeah, he was late on it, and it says he didn't get the paper statement. But I can relate to this. Accidentally, I don't know, it was a while ago, Lois and I talked. I did not get a paper statement. But 10 days before it was due, I just did it. I know it's coming. It's not like a mystery. It's not like, oh, I won the lottery. I don't have to pay this quarter. So I paid it, even though I had no statement at all. I knew what it was going to be. So there's personal responsibility here. You know it's coming. You know you owe it. And you got it in an email, but you're going, ah, I didn't get the paper. I think that's, I don't think that's a reason to relieve the responsibility.
Didn't we have a similar situation not so long ago where we actually forgave the interest? Because if we did that then I feel like we have to do it for them.
Did that person have the exact same circumstances? If they're not identical, then no.
It was something about the wrong mailing address, and then but they had received like or it had gone to their email. They said they never received the email or something.
Yuri, it was two daughters.
Yeah.
That made the appeal on behalf of their mother, who unfortunately I think passed away. They said they never got the statement. You know, they apologized. We did not, to my knowledge, we did not reverse those fees, late charge and interest, because they had changed how they were supposed to get that billing statement. I don't think their mother even ever saw it. They were going to take control of it. They both were trying to get addresses changed. It was just a mess. And to my knowledge, we did not reverse that. I think that's the one you're thinking about.
Yeah, and
it was a very similar, like, in writing situation. So if we didn't reverse it for them, then we shouldn't for them. But if we did, then I think we...
Well, yeah, but every case has uniqueness. This person has lived here how long?
This is this. Typically, we give an individual or homeowners a one-time, you know, like your credit card company. Sometimes they'll let you slide on one, and we do that. After that, then we automatically bring it to the board. And so this is a second occasion when this has happened within the last year or 2 years.
Yeah. So it's not exactly the same. It's not exactly the same. So no, I'm not in line to do that. But I'll take motion to either abate or stay the course with late fees. Can I get a motion on and make it the way you want it to be? Anybody? I need a motion to either your motion will be I want to abate.
Yeah.
Those motions have fell to me,
right.
But I have passed that half over to
yeah,
this
yeah, I know,
lady.
And I'm sitting here going, how much is it?
All right, how much is it, Lois, for the late fee?
The late fee is $60.67.
The last time he was, the last time it happened in 2019, was it about the same time of year?
I don't know that.
I guess to be honest with you, and I know if you... I'm going to, my vote would be to pass it because it hasn't happened since 2019 and this is 3 years later. So it's
$78.
So it's not a common thing. It's not a common vendor. So my vote would be.
Now you have to go along with the fact that you're now down the road with Yuri. We're being consenting to breaking the rule because it's been a while. Someone could say, well, that was, but I was 2 years. I was 2.5 years. Where do you draw the line? If they break the rules, and I'm not trying to hammer anybody, but you now, it can't be an emotional thing because, gee, it's been a while. You have to be consistent. That is selective enforcement on this. If you do not do it for one, you don't do it for the other. So everybody that does it, you can do it now. They have a pass to do it every 3 years. I don't think that's the way to operate. We need to be consistent. If you're going to break the rules and they've done it twice, it's going to happen. Other people are going to adopt it because 3 years is the magic number. You can do it every 3 years. I'm sorry. I that's not something I would want to do. But again, that's my argument. We have to come together here and figure out the majority on which way. So somebody give me a motion.
It's been paid now, right?
It's been paid.
Yeah,
he wants to have
it refunded. Okay, it's been
paid.
Already paid it?
Yeah. It's a precedent if you start letting it go because it's been 3 years.
Okay, so we should pay your late fee. I mean,
yeah.
If I... I would pay mine if it came up late.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
I have guests, and I didn't pay mine.
Okay, I stand.
All right, folks, these people can't hear us. Yeah.
Okay, so based on all of the feedback, I would agree with the majority that we should not waive the late fees and interest charges.
So you make a motion for me?
I make a motion to uphold the late fees and interest charges and not refund them.
I need a second.
I second it.
Okay, D, second. I need a vote, show of hands, those who approve holding late fees in place. We have unanimous.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what we did last. If I remembered what we did last time, I would be.
Yeah. It sounds like they weren't identical, though.
But if you take one stop story but not the other, then you're doing the same thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We have to be careful.
So starting January, we have two.
No sob stories.
No sob story.
No sob story rule. We'll work on that in the workshop.
Okay.
All right. Old business seems to be empty. Well, that's good. We might have done something. Yes, sir.
I think this should come under old business.
What's that, sir?
Discuss this.
What?
Talking about renters.
Yes, sir.
Contract between an owner and a renter is a private contract. You have rules, and I can't quote them right now. You can't rent for a week, you can't rent for a month.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be very, very careful as a board of requiring renters to come in and be interviewed because you're interfering in a private contract that you're not a part of.
It's a private community,
so
sir.
You have an attorney for the board,
mm-hmm.
and I would strongly suggest you talk to your attorney before you pass a rule like that.
I got it.
And I have no plan on renting a house.
No, but I agree with you to an extent, but you're talking about this is the key word, a private community. The owner that bought that house agreed to all the rules in the private community. So if they're going to rent it, the renter has to agree to all the rules in the private community. So that does not, we don't need to get into their business, but we need to get it into their head that they cannot rent it to someone who's going to say, like when I first moved in, I had a neighbor with a pickup truck, and it was there for months because the person who rented the house out decided to pay all the fines because he, for whatever reason. The deal is that that person tried to get out of the lease and was refused, so he came and kept his pickup truck, and the owner paid the fines. So everybody around says, wait a minute. I pay taxes here. I pay quarterly fees here. I'm not allowed to have a pickup truck. This guy was here with months with a pickup truck. You pissed me off, so we're not going to do it again. Yeah, but what are you... Right, and they pay the fine, but we're going to tell the renter right up front they cannot come in and break the rules. If they come to our house, they have to abide by the rules. And well, I will definitely talk to the attorney. In deference to you, I will definitely talk to the attorney. But I tell you for sure, in a private community, you can make rules. And one of them can be, if you're going to rent it, you have to rent it by our guidelines. You can't make them up. This is not Club Med, where they come for a week and they're gone and they're coming and they're gone. You don't want to see that. You do not want to see that.
You and I are not disagreeing.
Okay. All right. Okay. We will look into it.
Thank you.
Okay, that took care of all business.
I also have a question about the selling the property as opposed to renting a property, the rules. Can I ask that question?
All right, go ahead, sir.
This is Barry Graber. I'm a little concerned about the fact that if I want to sell my property, that the people that I want to sell it to has to sit down and have a sit-down meeting with the board of directors and whomever else before they're approved to live here. There's already a 20-page form that you're supposed to fill out, and no certificate of approval from the HOA will be issued until the paperwork work is completely processed. In that paperwork, there's a form to fill out for background check. There's forms for vehicles and so forth. And my personal opinion is I think you ought to have this form filled out, whether it's the realtor or the homeowner, by the prospective buyers. That should be sent into the HOA. And if there's a red flag there, then maybe you call for a meeting. But to have anybody I want to sell my property to say, you know, you can't live here until you meet with the board, that's going to turn a lot of people off. And I just don't think, I think we've gone, that's overboard. I think you've got a form that, like I said, is 20-page form. It's got rules and regulations. It's got all kinds of stuff in it that should be filled out before the person takes ownership, before they're allowed to buy the property. I think that's enough. And if there's, again, if there's a red flag, then have a sit down. But to have, make everybody go through that, that's baloney. I've never heard of such a thing. I just bought a home in Sarasota, in one of the top communities in the country, and a lot more money than this. And no one's asked me anything about that. And it's a gated community just like here. And I just think you guys are overstepping your bounds. Also, what if somebody meets and you don't like the way they look? Well, they're
well, they've got to dress correctly first.
Or they're a minority, and they don't get
in. Oh, come on, sir, wait, whoa.
Hold on, stop.
No, sir. We gave you time, and we're giving you respect. You give us respect, okay? You're accusing us of discrimination, and you're not going to.
I don't think he's accusing you.
Yeah, we're not going to discriminate against somebody buying a house in here. We're also going to have rules, okay? And we're not only the only community that does this. We will get you a list of communities that do this.
So I think we may have just worded it in a scary way. What I have seen it get called more so just like an introduction to the community, rather than a meeting where we determine whether you're going to make it here or not. It's more so just like an introduction to the community where you get the rules and the regulations, and then you go over them, and then you sign the paper that says that's part of the packet, but this. This would be us getting it out of the packet, and then they get a folder and whatnot, I believe. So it would just be not so much a meeting, but an introduction.
And the other thing you're not considering is a lot of people get this. Let me go. A lot of people get these packets, and I ride around this community, and I see so many violations. So you're telling me they read them, and yet they don't know the rules, so they're going to break them? What we're doing here, sir, is just pointing out the obvious, because people say, they did not tell me that. Oh, I didn't read that. We're going to make sure they read it. That's what's going to happen.
I would bet you that most of the people that live in here have never seen that document. I never had until I went up to the office, and they pointed it out to me. I've never seen that before, and I'm sure my parents who lived here didn't see it before either. So I'm imagining there's a lot of people out there, and I think this form is good. All I'm saying is the way it was presented earlier tonight was it was more like you can't do this unless the board approves it, and now you're telling me, well, it's more of an introduction, a meet and greet. That's different.
And that's what I think it would be more so, and it would be exactly for that purpose, so that you would have the rules and regulations prior to moving in here, so that you're aware, like kind of, you're familiar with them. But it definitely wouldn't be kind of like an approval or denial meeting. It would just be an introduction. Here are the rules and regulations. Let's go over them. Do you have any questions? And that's it.
Okay, may I add?
Go ahead.
Okay, sir, just to add also, I've lived in two gated communities prior to this, Conquistador and Willoughby Glen. Both of them required an interview before the closing date of the transaction so that we were made aware of the rules and the regulations and so on and so forth. So it happens. It does happen out there.
But I do think it's just...
And I the HOA that I'm fixing to join in Sarasota, I have to go to them too, but it's after the fact. It's after I've closed.
This is just to make sure.
It's different everywhere. The way it was presented was, you know, we're going to sit down and we're either going to approve you or not. It just didn't sound right.
No. It's not an approval process. It's an interview. That's all.
Okay.
All right, we're going to move on. There was a lady in the back that had her hand up.
Yes. Solution.
Yes.
Historically, a realtor meets with their client and goes through that there are covenants that they have to read, and they have to know these covenants and if they want to abide by them or not. Mm-hmm. A good realtor, it's also listed in the MLS, It'll say right there in the note, there are covenants that are attached to this property. So to say that you never seen them, didn't read them, then your realtor did not do their job. And maybe they're the ones that should be held accountable, just like your property manager, et cetera. And Mark and Lois can know because I went through it when I moved in here regarding my pickup truck. Because I didn't consider my truck a pickup truck.
Yeah, and you're perfectly right, ma'am. If we could depend on the realtors to really do it, but then how do we go after them when it...
But again, it's like you're saying, I didn't get my statement in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, exactly. It's going to be a friendly conversation of, look, you need to read these, you need to see these, just like Yuri said. Here's what they are. You do say, oh, gee, I didn't see that. Well, okay, I can abide by that. But you go over things, you talk about things, okay? So there's no misconception, because there's a lot of misconception in 832 places. There's several that have a misconception.
Okay. This is going to be treated as a welcome. A welcome to the Meadows. This is going to be treated with a welcome with the property manager and director. Says, we're here to help you, and we're going to go over this together. And if you have questions, ask them. And if you see that you have further questions after, call us. This is what this is. It's not interrogation. We're not going to have a light on them or anything like that. It's a welcome and bring... What, Bill?
I was thinking electrified chair, actually.
Right, dog collar.
Yeah. Yeah, dog collar. Okay, all right, okay. We're having fun. All right, yes, we've settled it. We will not grill them or torture them or waterboard them. We just want to make sure that everybody understands the rules and wants to live by.
And I would say to the gentleman on the phone and also the person, we understand your concern that it could be a little bit over, but it's not that. It's a welcome meeting, not an interview.
All right. Okay, so we've got old business done. New business, Mark.
All right.
Pressure cleaner.
We are in need of purchasing a pressure cleaner. I'm having a little bit of a hard time because apparently the commercial units are in short supply, so I haven't gotten the exact figures, but typically they run about $5,400 for a unit that, and again, keep in mind, these things are running 8 hours a day. You know, days on end. So they're large commercial units, and they're not cheap. The pump systems on them go through a terrible abuse. But I can't give you an exact figure as to what the cost will be right at this point. Typically, they're right around $5,200.
What PSI are they, Mark?
3,500 PSI at about 8 gallons a minute.
Okay.
So.
How many do we have of those?
Right now we have one spare, a large one, and we have two small ones.
Didn't we just purchase a pressure cleaner one? No, we didn't?
No.
Hose.
Okay.
Will this be considered coming out of our equipment replacement fund?
Yes.
Okay. There's money there.
Okay. All right.
There is.
So I guess I would like to ask the board if I could access funds. Yes.
Large one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be able to spend up to $5,200 for commercial grade pressure cleaners.
Pressure cleaners.
Not to exceed?
Just say not to exceed.
$5,200?
Yeah.
There is money, and if it comes out of the equipment replacement fund, that's what it's for, and there is money there.
Right. And we've set aside the money.
It's needed. Yeah. It's equipment. So, all right. Well, do you want
to? We have to make a motion.
Want to make a motion on that? So can somebody?
I'll do it since it's money, I guess.
Okay.
So I make a motion for Mark to purchase a new pressure cleaner and a not to exceed $5,200.
I need a second on that. Yuri seconds. I need a vote to show approval, disapproval. We have a unanimous vote for Mark and his pressure cleaner. Okay, next item up for bid.
All right.
Everybody's gone past Monarch, I'm sure, and you've seen the lighted gates and so forth, so on. And then you come home, and we see the pool noodle on the one on the right, and it's just, to me, it's kind of ugly, number one. And I think some people with vision impairments, especially after dusk, it's hard to see. Yeah, I don't care if you put that little yellow thing on it or not. And I really feel that that lighted system would be a huge improvement here. And we have an estimate on it of $1,800 to do all four of them and installed, correct?
The LED lights.
Yeah, the LED right lights. Yeah, they, yeah, as they go up, there's, it's very simple. It gets the power from the arm, and if it's a mercury switch that it goes, it changes it to the green and then back to red. And it gives people more of a sense of what's going on. Is it coming down? Is it going up? Is it red or green? You know, it's what it is. And I really feel that it would make us look a little bit more professional. First time I saw it there, I was very impressed. And I think it's going to be more vision for people coming and going.
A lot of places have those.
Yeah, and I think it's an absolute plus.
Replacement.
Yeah, all they replace is the arms and they wire them.
Yeah.
That's all. Because the mechanisms are all the same. It's just they take a power wire off it, and it does its own thing. As it raises the switch, it goes this way and changes the LEDs. It's very simple.
Yeah, three of them would be identical. The fourth one, which is the high-speed gate arm, may be a slightly different material because of the weight.
Yeah.
How much is the cost?
Was $1,800.
As a proposal.
You have
a package.
Is that all?
Sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, we. Got it? Yes, sir.
I believe in the past, if somebody knocked that gate up and off, there was a fine. Mark, is that not true?
Sorry?
Yeah, there was.
When somebody knocks the gate arm off, it's a fine.
A fee.
A fee.
For hitting the gate arm because there's calibration issues and arms breaking off.
That's where
$150.
If you add the lights and stuff to it, it could be.
Oh, here it is.
More extensive damage?
It's going to be more. It's going to be, each arm is 400, and I thought I saw it itemized, but the total. Oh, wait a minute, wrong thing. That's the loss. Never mind. You have a copy of it?
Can't find it at the moment.
It was $1,800 and some odd dollars because I know it was impressed on the fact that it was not really that expensive. But I'm having trouble finding the darn thing.
It's not.
Knocked
off and run over like some of them do. $150 is not
going to. No. It's going to be $400 and some odd dollars for the arm.
Well, but I think residents need to know that.
Well, yeah, sure they do, and they need to be cautious.
Yeah.
They need to be cautious.
Okay, the high speed one's going on the residents, right?
Yes.
And that's the one I see mostly knocked over.
That is correct.
So what's going to? I'm sorry. What's going to keep him from?
Well, number one, they'll know it's not going to be $150. Number one, they'll know it's not going to be that, number one. And number two, it's more visible. I think a lot of people just misjudge because they don't see it as well.
Well, a lot of times the arc will go up and then come right back down. Like I did it plenty of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could say a lot of people.
Went down so fast. My car got damaged. I had to pay $100.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. I got it. Yeah, it's.
I was.
Yeah. Here it is, Patty. I've got it.
It's 6 months.
I knew I had it.
The only.
$1,885.88.
The only place that this can come out of is the contingency fund, and there's $15,000, and that means $2,000 is done in January, so that leaves you $13,000 for the year.
Well,
my job is to control the spending.
No, I understand. I got it. I found one.
There is a reserve also for gate entry system.
Could it come out of that?
Yes, it could.
How much is in there?
$27,565. Do you have any expenses coming out this year?
Don't anticipate unless we have a failure on one of the gate arms. We've been pushing the replacement for the barcode reader and so on because it's continued to work. So we haven't. I think
he's having issues. I don't know how many times I have to back up
and
have to read it again.
Have you had your barcode checked? Because sometimes they get something on them, you got to clean them, you got to watch out.
Yeah. Typically, what the issues are either graying, we had a bad batch, or if they're scratched or there's some kind of surface issue. And there's also certain times of the year when the sun will impact the laser in a way that creates a problem. But
so if somebody hits this thing, what is going to be the fine?
Well, it's not a fine. They just paid the damage. The damage is going to be, the most expensive one is $453. I guess that's the fast one.
You're going to go after a homeowner and say you had to pay $453?
All I can say is what we currently do, if someone hits the gate arm and we have a camera out there and we can, and it's evident that it wasn't, the gate arm just came down automatically, but it's been typically a tailgating situation, and the gate arm comes down on the vehicle and it's knocked off, we send an invoice to them for $150. Gate arm doesn't necessarily cost $150, but after multiple times of hitting, because sometimes the gate arm will, the guards just put it back up, it's okay, because they have neoprene washers on it. But over time, they get bent and dented. So we've averaged out what it would cost roughly every time it got hit. And with adjusting the machine and doing things like that, it came to about $150. So we may not technically have to replace the gate arm every time it's hit. But so we would have to come up with what a fair figure would be. But it would certainly be more than what the current gate arm is.
And people, I mean, we can't plan for people being, I'm sorry, forgive me, dumb. You just take your time.
I don't think that's...
Take your time.
Yeah, but there's definitely issues with it.
What?
It doesn't always work.
What doesn't work?
The arm.
How many people in here have had the arm not work for them? And what does it do? No, what does it do? What
comes down
on your car?
No.
Really?
And I already know what's going to happen.
Really? What happened to it? I mean, so when you were, while you were going through, you started to
come up.
Yep. Yeah, so the problem of a lot of times, I think, is while they're backing up.
Yeah,
there is an issue.
Yeah, so like while they're backing up, then it picks up.
All right, folks, please.
So I think the main issue, at least I haven't experienced it, but I've seen it, is that like as people are trying to back up because it didn't read it the first time, then it goes up, but then by the time that they're going forward again, then it comes down way too fast.
Well, this is a timing. One of the things that may want to be looked at is, you know, I see that high-speed arm thing. I'm just wondering, how high speed does it have to be? Why does it have to be that high speed?
Well, I'll tell you, I went to Pine Ridge today to my daughter's house, and they have the scan with the gate arm goes up, and it's coming down fairly quickly, but then here's a truck tailgating me right through, and we're all going through together. So, I mean, you have to plan it right.
But the point is, I mean, we're supposed to be adults. I'm missing something here. The point is, you pull up to the gate, and the gate should go up. We should check on that fast thing and maybe make a little bit of an adjustment. But people have to be responsible. If we're not responsible at this age, what the heck are we?
We use 50% of the people in attendance here have an issue with it. Yeah. I don't think it's responsibility.
Well, I just don't understand. I've never had a problem with it.
We used to have
people in this room have.
Have you guys had your sticker checked? I mean, how old are the stickers?
I don't know.
We just got new ones.
Okay. Real quick. The gate arms that were on there originally when we and the system that was installed was the slow speed gate arm. So if we're talking about going back to the slow speed, the problem that we had with that system back 20 years ago was that we had significant number of tailgaters because the gate arm was coming down so slow that you were having, a lot more of a problem with people piggybacking other vehicles. So that's why we installed the high-speed gate arm. We can certainly get someone out there to take a look at the reader. I think the system that we have is a single laser. I think now there's two lasers. But again, I haven't had too many complaints in here. And typically when we do get a complaint, it is really related to the barcode. But again, it's news to me. Maybe we need to have it looked at the way we're getting comments tonight.
Well, and I think if we look at it on a case-by-case basis. Like, we watch the camera and whatnot, and it's clearly something that could be an accident or whatnot or not done on purpose, then I think that should be the determination for whether they get fined or not.
Oh, yeah. Well, clearly, if you can see, you know, we've had occasions where you can see actually the tailgating. You know, that Jeep was following right behind him. That's why it hit their vehicle. It's pretty obvious.
At that point, it's a fine. But if it's not clear, then...
Well, yeah, we're two different items here, whether or not we want to do this or whether or not we want to fine. There's two different things. Sam.
I just wanted to say that the gate operation isn't the issue that you brought up.
Yes.
We're, like, way off the topic.
I know.
So the topic is, are we putting lights on the arm?
That's what I would like.
That was the initial issue.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And I'm wondering, since we're only starting February tomorrow, we have 11 more months to go, and we're fighting the budget this year. Is this something that we want to think about now, or do we want to put it down the road and make sure that we have enough excess money? If we have money in our budget to go for issues like this.
No. You make it.
That's just throwing it out.
Not disputing your point at all. We're talking less than $2,000.
It's not a lot of money
to make the improvement.
Right.
And I think the lighting is a lot more visible to people, and visual is what it's all about. I mean,
but
it gives them the understanding.
For 30 years without lights.
Well, nobody had them years ago. This is all brand new, but they're popping up everywhere because they're popular. And what I'd want to know, I mean, we can table it till February. The point is, what we need to do then, since there's such concern, is talk to Monarch and see what their experiences is.
Yeah.
How do they have their arms regulated, the resident gate, how fast does it go, the whole nine yards. I mean, these are things we can do.
I think
let's have Structure Works or whoever we're using right now for unit repairs come out and look at it, look at the timing of the gate, just make sure it's tuned up, if you will, operating correctly.
Yeah, laser thing. Yeah, working properly.
Or more.
Okay. All right. Let me get her first buddy. Yes.
I think when it was brought up, your initial comment was how it looked good.
Yeah.
The Monarch looked good. So I think with the, you know, with the cost, even though it is only $1,800, that we don't want it because it looks good. We want it because it's a true safety, you know, help, right? So I think if people are crashing into it because they don't see it at night, then it becomes a safety issue. And then the expense becomes just obvious, safety issue.
Yeah.
But I think if it's a looks good issue.
Well, no, your point is valid, but I did follow that up with the safety thing. I said people with impaired vision, you know,
well,
it's going to give them.
Well, I don't know that anybody's run into it. I've been here 2 years, and I don't think really?
No, I've never either. I brought trailers through. In fact, they told me when I was moving in, you can go through there. I said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I got a trailer, a big trailer on the back. Mm-hmm. I can drive through there. Isn't it going to come down? Oh, no, it's fine. So I don't know. And I tried it a couple times and got through, but I was nervous. But I think it is not only a visual good look, also a visual safety look. But we'll table it till next month. We will do some research. We'll talk to Monarch and any other neighborhood that has it. I have established a relationship with the president of Monarch. I'll talk to her. We'll figure it out. I'm sure Mark has met the new manager. Have you met the new manager, Simon?
No,
okay.
I have not yet.
Okay, Simon is the new manager over there. So we'll do some research, but I think it's strongly a good idea. That's my opinion. Everybody's got an opinion. And it's not thousands of dollars, right? It's not thousands of dollars. So we'll table it till next month. Okay. All right. Appointments. Miss Melanie.
Yes. We have a resume attached for new alternate for art. Her name is Joanne Edmond. And I'd like to get approval from the board to have her
I'll second the motion.
Okay, any discussion?
Yes.
I
want Peggy Mahoney to be recognized. She's been around a long time, and she's been on many committees, and she put her heart and soul into our community. So, you know, unfortunately, she's moved, and for illness reasons, but thank her for all her dedication.
And if anybody has her phone number, if you reach out to her or email and tell her that, she really appreciates it.
Yeah, okay. Will you do that, Melanie, for us? Tell us we all feel that way. I don't know her, but I'm sure if he says she's great, she's great.
I have her phone number. I think Patty's got her phone number.
Okay. All right.
Do we know the people of Mayflower want that person to be their representative now?
Yes. Well, Tom Pesavento lives in Mayflower. These are both Mayflower positions. He lives in Mayflower. He will be taking Peggy's position as a, I don't know if it says for Mayflower, alternate. Yeah, he was the alternate for Mayflower moving. What I'm asking for is that he can move into the position that Peggy held as a regular ARC member.
Okay.
His resume has been already sent. I don't know if it was included.
Well, you obviously are running the ARC.
Yes.
Yeah, right. So the thing is, and you've done due diligence and feel this is a good situation, good appointment.
Okay.
All right. Well, we have to defer somewhat to you because we don't really know these people. We have to defer to your judgment. So.
Who made the motion?
I did. Somebody seconded it, didn't they?
I made it.
She seconded it. Yeah, okay. She made it. She seconded it. Patty seconded it. All right, then I'm back to, since we had the discussion, can I get a vote? All those in favor of this, we will have unanimous. Okay. That takes care of that. Committee reports, architectural review minutes.
They're just enclosed.
Yeah, they're just enclosed. Do we have any? We don't have any action on them.
Nope.
Okay.
Homeowner comments.
Okay. Landscape minutes. No meeting in December, so there won't be any.
I have a couple. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Before I go to the audience again, go around the board. And I forget who said they had something tonight. Was it you, Tim? You wanted something?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Start with you.
Yeah. I have a request from a Brighton resident to allow the installation of a bounce house on Super Bowl Sunday to come. Let me finish.
She's giggling.
Let me finish. To bring it in and set it up on Sunday for like 6 hours for kids to play in. The residents tell me they did it last year. I have no record of any such request, but they indicated that a board member approved it last year. I talked to Joe about it. I think they want to allow them to do it. I'm not totally against the idea. They bring it in on Saturday, get it set up, and they have the company come back on Monday morning and take it out. I don't think you need that kind of activity going on Sunday. That's just my personal opinion.
Mm. And secondly, to your statement, no board member had the authority to approve it.
No, it should have been brought to the to the board as a whole.
Yeah.
They don't know who that person was or anything, but it's
naturally.
Yeah, I said it was approved by a board member last year.
So the request is that we leave our rules to be broken for Super Bowl Sunday, and for this purpose, I don't have a problem with the bounce house as long as it's not in the street or on the anywhere it shouldn't be, blocking sidewalks or anything.
I went and looked at the property today.
Do they know where they're going to put it?
It'll take up the whole driveway.
Okay.
So that means.
But it won't be covering the sidewalk or even.
No, it should.
Okay.
It should.
Well, I mean, if they want to do it, I don't have my personal thing is, as a board member, I don't have a problem, but it, like you said, it needs to come in Saturday late in the day and go out Monday morning.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Discussion on it?
I don't have a problem with it.
Well, I'll get to you, ma'am. Just let me let them go first.
But is there anything done Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday.
Yeah, as far as commercial coming in.
Only emergency. Yeah.
There's a small crew, three or four people that have to come in and set it up.
Yeah. But you got a truck and you got all the commotion and stuff and other people maybe having guests there, and now you got a big truck in the street. And it's really something that should be done on Saturday and taken away Monday morning. And it's the rules. I mean,
Don't shoot the messenger.
No, no, no. Oh, but the rules.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a major one that are off. I'll make a motion to approve that.
Okay. Come in on Saturday and go home on Sunday?
Yeah.
Monday.
Yeah. So can I get a motion that we direct him to tell the people that they can bring it in on a Sunday or Saturday and take it out on Monday?
Have you made the amendment?
And Nick Neal, all right, can I get a show of hands on approval for this? Okay, so it's unanimous. They've got to do it Saturday and take it away Monday. They may have to pay another $25 or $50, but if they want to pay for it, they'll do it. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. Apologize.
If it is approved, I'm assuming it hasn't been approved yet since I hadn't been called on. I would say that an adult must be supervising this at all times. Because if all the adults are in watching football, you know, we don't know how many kids are in there, what they're doing.
You have a valid point. But it is on, as the one gentleman said, private property, private business. I mean, I don't know what we can do. If it's on their property and it's not on the easement and it has nothing to do with us, I don't know how much governance we have of it.
Do we have to have them sign a disclaimer that the Meadows is not responsible?
I don't think that it's a question we have to. The question is, should we? That if you're bringing in a piece of equipment like that, you know, because we don't know the safety factor. And we are allowing it to come in, so I don't think that should be a heavy responsibility for them to sign a hold harmless to the Meadows.
Yeah. That needs to be a separate question.
Yeah, and it's not like we're telling them to climb a mountain. It's just you need to sign a hold harmless to us on your activity.
Yeah.
I'll ask her.
When you rent one of those houses, you sign a paper that you're responsible, or the, because we've rented them previously, not here.
Right.
But that the company is responsible.
Even if for the kids get injured and all?
Yeah. There's an insurance policy.
Well, yeah, but it's when you do certain things, there are additional insured, and that's what we want to be. We want to be additionally insured in the way of being held harmless. So I'll ask Deborah. I'll ask her attorney, our attorney.
Okay, we don't know that.
Can't be an additional insurance.
What's that?
Are we putting in hold harmless?
Well, that will be. Well, we've given the approval. They've put in Saturday to take it out Monday. So now, do we want to add the clause that we have to take that back now? And
yeah, no, it's on the home. It's on their property.
Okay.
All right, you guys don't think we need the... All right, folks, please. We're going to just let it go at that. We won't do the clause. Is that what we're saying?
I guess I have a document. Oh.
Make sure it's staked down so we don't make national news.
But make what? Oh.
Make sure it's staked down.
Well, who's going to do that, though?
Way and we make national news.
Yeah, but who's going to do that? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to eliminate worrying about the legal side of this. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think it should be an idea to call Denver and just...
No, that's what I'm saying.
I don't think you're going to be able to get an additional name insured, but I think the
hold harmless is fine.
Yeah, hold harmless is all I care about.
Right.
I meant mentioned the additional insured on other purposes. On this one, it's just to hold harmless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On that, Joe.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Then let's do that. Then why don't we add that to the stipulation? Let's retable this motion for an addition. And make it that there is a hold harmless paper provided.
No, we have time to vote on it again.
I think you need to.
But we can add to it.
I think we need to talk to Deborah first before we put something that we don't know if
we're allowed. We can put a hold harmless.
I think we talked to Deborah. I think it needs to be done, but I think Deborah needs to tell us.
Right, and the whole harmless coming in the future will be held here, correct?
Okay, we need to back the ship up a little bit because we've got a vote for approval already, so we need to address that issue. And if we're not, then we need to rescind motions and so on. So.
Yeah, you could rescind it and redo the motion.
Okay, so we have to go to who's going to rescind this motion.
All right.
I might just add, though, there's a time frame here because Super Bowl Sunday is in 2 weeks.
Well, how long does it take to get a simple hold harmless?
We won't be here again to vote on it.
Oh,
We're going to vote on it now.
I think,
okay. Yeah, we'll vote on it now.
Okay,
yeah.
You're going to rescind this motion.
Yeah, let's rescind the motion and then re-vote the motion with a hold harmless.
I need it approved by the
I need a second on rescind.
I'll second that.
Okay.
Okay, so I need a vote on rescinding the motion of approval. Okay, now we have a unanimous on that with you made the motion or second?
No, we're rescinded.
Right, I'm first
now
and second,
we're
just
go
so
ahead.
Lowest there.
Okay. Now we're going to go ahead to...
I need some clarification.
Yeah, who made the motion to rescind?
I need somebody to say I'm making a motion to rescind. I need a name and I need a...
Yeah.
Typically, it would be the person who who made the motion.
Oh, okay.
I made it.
You made it?
Okay, so then I need you to make rescind, and I need Neil to make the motion.
So we're
second.
They're not approved to that?
We're going to turn around and approve it with just a hold harmless. That's all. They just get us a hold harmless. That's all. That's all. They can do it, but it's a hold harmless. So we need a second.
Yuri made the motion.
Neil?
Neil
seconded
it.
Second it. Now we need a vote to rescind. And it's to rescind the permission.
So we have it to rescind.
Yes, we're voting to rescind. It's unanimous. Okay. Now, I need a motion to approve it with just a hold harmless, simple hold harmless agreement, which I will get from Deborah. It's probably a spit out form. She can email me.
Yeah. We're going to make a motion that they could put this bounce house up
on
Saturday, remove it by Monday with a hold harmless
approved
by Deborah.
Yeah. Okay, so somebody make that motion.
I'll make a motion to approve it Saturday and Monday and with a hold harmless if approved by
Deborah. Got it. Got it. Neil will second it. We'll keep it the same as it was. And now I need a vote for this new motion.
Tim seconded it.
Tim
seconded
it.
All right, all those in favor, show of hands, it's unanimous for everyone approved for the motion. The people are getting restless.
One more comment.
All right, okay, 1 second. All right, we don't have any other business.
Yeah.
It is the people's.
No,
I know, but I'm saying that it's the people's house.
I have business.
She's going to hit me.
Oh,
I have witnesses.
All right, I had the opportunity to invite us last week because I'm going to be the hot wire liaison for the Meadows. But I'll go into that in just a minute, and which is quite an honor. I'm going to be meeting with our representative from Hotwire and their manager sometime next week, because I'm looking at the FLA report and I wanted to be more accurate in what they're saying. So that, and Ida was very gracious to help me on that. But also, Ida is doing the social committee. That night she met with 9 people and we're going to have fun now. And this is what she's proposing for the year.
Did you get an agenda item on this young lady?
No, I'm bad.
Pass it along. You see what I have to put up.
Well,
there.
Stuff happens, you know.
Well,
I have one. Okay, so that's good. So since now, and it's really some great stuff. Casinos, she's got how many activities there? She has something in February, pool, cover dish, bring your own bottle, which everybody loves. St. Patrick's Day at the VFW or in the spring, our Monarch May water cruise, August 16th casino trip, October 29th Halloween party with the food trucks, and December 3rd it'll be a gift exchange here or off-site. So that's some great fun that we're going to have. So the last part is that I am taking the educational presentations from Yuri because she's busy. And so when I'm reaching out to Martin County Sheriff, we're going to do a presentation on identity theft and scams. Identity theft will go into detail, what to look for, who to contact, what are the signs, how you put alerts on your account, and then the scams, identify a scam. You know, many times you're getting texts and emails, and they look real. and how to know that they're not. And predators, and the predators I mean is that if you go on Facebook, I've gotten three of these already, that says, oh, I like her profile, you know, I like her smile, blah, blah. There is somebody from probably Nigeria trying to trick you to come in. And many people, they're lonely or something, they say, okay, what a nice guy. No, they're not nice. So that will be one presentation. The other presentation will be for the children. I think we need to do something here in the Meadows. There's a lot going on for these young kids, and it's just not parents need to know. Grandparents need to be involved, aunts, uncles, everybody, because there's so much dangerous stuff out there. So, you know, the topics will be know their friends, what to watch on their iPads and computers, sit down and talk to your kids. Fentanyl has become a huge problem in Martin County now, and it looks like candy. So we're going to have a topic on that, too, with the kids. And the last program we're going to do is a fire rescue program. So I'm building with three programs here.
Okay.
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 I'm done.
Okay. We're good. Okay. All right, now to the people.
The
people's house. Oh, wait a minute.
So,
sorry, I tried. I really tried. Go ahead.
So like I said, I had a lot of people reach out to me in regards to adding of the Covenant
Patrol.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm just going to quote it from something that somebody sent me. So pursuant to Article 8 of the amended and restated Declaration of Covenants, it says there's restrictions that say it shall be the duty of the board at least 60 days before the beginning of the fiscal year to prepare and approve a budget covering costs of operating the association during the coming year. And the budget shall include and shall separately list common expenses and neighborhood expenses. And the board shall cause a copy of the budget and the amount of the assessed levies against each unit for the following year to be delivered to each owner at least 30 days prior to the end of the fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
So by that, the Covenant's patrolman, that wasn't included in that.
The budget was developed and it was delivered 60 days. It was done in 30 days before the end of the year. What you're talking about is called an amended budget. An amended budget has, by statute 720, by our covenants, zero restrictions, time constraints, or developmental restrictions. So you're talking about two different budgets. The annual budget has to be done in a time-constrained manner. An amended budget, you can research it for yourself. 720, anywhere you want to look, I've read our covenant. Amended budgets do not fit that structure. So what we've done is, you amended budget is just what it says. You've made some changes. The predominance of the all that was done in the main budget is identical to what it was. The amendments had to be done for certain reasons, and when we did that, we addressed a problem that has grown rapidly, bad as the violations in the community. So we added this person to do this covenants enforcement, and it turned out to be $40 per household per year.
Oh, see.
And I understand what you're saying, but
yeah,
there is no restriction on
so
an amended budget.
So I think the concern is that single-family homes, the costs went up.
Yeah.
Single-family homes.
Yeah.
And it went down for
multi-use
homes.
Well, no. That's not even close. The multi-families went up dramatically.
Yeah.
Let me finish. The worst-case scenario, it dropped. The only reason it went up for single families is because we added additional reserves, savings, and the Covenant Patrol. The total was 20 some dollars?
Single family?
Yeah, 20.
Almost 50. 40 something.
No, it was going to be 1023. It went to 10, before.
Okay, but that's correct.
Yeah, no, wait a minute. It was going to be 1023, and it
correct.
Went to 1054.
Correct.
So we're not talking $50. So anyway, the bottom line is that was, of course, additional reserves because everything changed. The insurance changed. Our reserve changed. We dropped assessments. We dropped the prices of the quarterly accordingly. We were never, as single-family home owners, involved in the problem of the insurance except on common property, and it did slightly go up to cover common property on the new policy. Again, a couple of dollars in that 1052 for single-family owners. But you're talking about people trying to pull in the fact that there's constraints time-wise on a budget, and there is, the annual budget. But if you amend a budget, it is by nature an amendment, and it is not restricted in any statute or any covenant to say there is a timeline on it. So
that continues, and it says the budget and assessments shall become effective unless disapproved by a vote.
Correct.
Or by a voting member, and at least a majority of members of the association at the members' meeting held no later than 30 days after the board adoption of the budget.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's still time for that to be objected.
Well, do you have a majority of people of 832 families?
I'm talking about makeup.
Yeah, we have to have 832 families involved because it's a budget for the community.
Yeah.
He could vote against
it. I could vote against
it. Well, yeah, you can. You can. Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'd like to bring that up.
Well, you brought it up. I mean, but you undo a budget.
I'd like to make a motion to address that.
To disapprove the budget?
Addition of the covenants violation.
So you don't want somebody to look out for us in violations is what you're saying?
Well, originally when we voted on it, there was going to be talk about what their scope of work was, and that hasn't happened. It was just added in, and somebody was already hired.
It was all written up. It was available for anybody to read. All they're going to do is enforce the rules as they're written. There were no additional rules added.
When we first voted for it, there was talk that we would collectively come up and figure out the scope of that.
There was a job description.
Yeah, there was a job description. He was working under Mark, so he came up with a job description. The board doesn't have to come up with it. Just like his people that go out in the field and do repairs.
That's what we had said.
Well, it's a misunderstanding, and I apologize. The problem is you're taking the authority away from the manager who makes up the job description. I don't tell the guy that he has out there doing pressure washing his job.
And we all voted for it. That's what the discussion was.
Well, it may have been in a way that you're taking it, but it wasn't defined that we actually are going to do this. We say there has to be a job description.
Well, there was a job description. Mm-hmm. It was included in the packet that night, and Bill made the comment that he didn't think it was adequate, and I said, if you don't feel it's adequate, you can come up with something different, and he said, no, it's okay. So, and I did not bring it with me tonight. I don't have it. But there was a job description in that packet as along with the budget.
There was a job description.
I'd still like to make the
motion. I'll let you people talk, but we have to get a board action here going at this point. Sorry, we have to get this satisfied for the board.
I'll make one other comment. If taking that cost out of the quarterly dues would reduce them by $10. Yeah. $10.50.
Here.
Yeah, so I'm just missing the point. I'm really missing the point.
No, that's for you.
Oh, for me?
That's the job description.
We're all allowed to have different opinions.
Wait, folks, please. One at a time. I didn't say somebody can't have an opinion. I just said I didn't see the point. My opinion.
I did make a motion to eliminate that.
Well, wait a minute. We didn't make a formal motion. We need to make a formal motion, and it has to be voted on. So
okay,
what is your motion is what? And you've got to understand something else. You're out of order that we don't have it on the agenda. Why wasn't this put on the agenda?
Well, that's
because he's bringing it up now.
Pursuing.
I think.
Well, no, I'm just saying. I mean,
we're not asked what we want to put in the agenda or not. So
we're
not. We're never asked about what we want to put on the agenda.
I I know I've mentioned it. I don't know.
Well, maybe hearsay.
Tim, did I not mention? Do you have anything? I know I talked to Patty. I'm sorry if I didn't talk to everybody. But I thought we all had the understanding that every board member has a right to talk about the agenda. So I apologize. In the future, then please, if there's something on your mind for the agenda, it is really important that you get that to the office and make sure that they put it on the agenda so we can address it. As I did, as Tim and all we all have done in the past, we need to put it on the agenda. But, all right, it's here and now. I need you to define your motion.
I want to make a motion to eliminate the covenants violator.
Covenants
compliance captain from the budget.
Okay. I guess you can make a motion
again
like that. Yeah.
To remove the covenants violation.
It's a covenants enforcement person.
From.
Okay. All right. So is there a second for this?
I'll second it.
Okay. We have a second. Is there a vote? All those in favor of removing? Everybody in favor of moving? Okay. Sorry. So,
what do you need to do?
Yep. All right. You did what you did. And you represented what?
Can I have that back?
Oh, yes.
I was just showing you.
You were just showing Indian
the
giver. All right. I got to get to the good people out here because they're going to shoot me. All right. Who's first? Somebody tell me. Okay. You. Somebody said I am. I'll take it. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So, we heard a rumor in Lakemont that there is going to be
You have.
How is that not on the agenda?
Because it's not. It's not. There is thought, there is exploration, there is possibility, there is maybe, there is, and if something comes together where there's pricing, where there's plotting, where there's drawings, where it's possible, where there's funding, then you'd hear about it. But by the same token, I'd like to have a giant clubhouse, but I'm not going to put it on the agenda because it's not feasible.
Well, at what point did we get notified about it?
Well, you get notified when it becomes feasible and we have a plan, and then everyone will be notified.
If your plan's already in motion and people came out and surveyed, and are you well?
How? Nobody surveyed. So rumors. Sir, do you know the difference between a survey and getting an estimate?
Yes.
Do you have any idea? A gentleman came out to measure and do the tennis courts, and while he was here, I asked him, do me a favor, would you measure this out, and I'd like to talk about it. I don't know if it's possible or even feasible, but I would like to talk about it, and if I'm going to talk about it, I'd like to talk with intelligence. Here's what it would cost, folks. Here is where we may put it. Here's what it'll look like. Here are the drawings. Here are this, and then we all vote on it. See, that's the democracy we work on, okay? On a capital improvement, we do that by... Yeah. Well, let us answer the question. Please. Let us answer the question. On a capital improvement...
There's a number of questions that would have to be answered. One is PUD agreements and so on that would have to be addressed through the county before that could even be considered.
Mm-hmm.
And a vote like that, I would imagine, because you're changing the common property, would be something that would have to be something that would have to go to the residents more than likely. It's coming off the top of my head, so you know, don't quote me on this. I'd have to look at our governing documents and the statute. Yes.
Yeah, that's fine.
So what I'm saying is, as residents, and more than likely everyone, if they would get to that point, notified, going back to the statement you said earlier of we all work together, that doesn't more or less sound like you're working together.
Your opinion, sir. I can't make miracles. I think we've done really well. I think we as a board have done remarkable for the multifamily homes. You've got two assessments you don't have, and you would have much higher credit. So if you can't give a little credit, okay. So the second thing is, I haven't. No, I'm not. You're saying we're trying to do something sneaky. Nobody's trying to do anything, and there's nothing settled.
So I don't
think nothing happened.
I don't think that that's what they're saying. I think that they saw something happening that wasn't communicated with
and
them. And, and I know that
anything was going on, and said, no, nothing's going on.
And it isn't.
And I know
so
that
I'm talking to you about something.
Well, yes, you are, but nothing, there is no contract. There is no proposal. There is nothing.
Well, why would
he
hold on.
You're mixing a lot of things up, and it's really not helpful in any way. We're getting out of order here, and we're starting to create something that used to go on in the past, and I will not have it. I will recognize you. I will listen to you. You show me respect. I will show you respect. I am telling you there is absolutely nothing going on but some exploring. And if we got a country where you can't explore an idea that costs nobody a penny and may never generate a cost of a penny, then somehow we've moved from a country of freedom. All I'm doing is trying to see something that might be a possibility if the people approve it, if we can afford it, if the PUD. So what am I going to do? I'm going to generate a whole presentation for nothing?
No, but the more you would keep people in communication, even if it's a thought, you would have more feedback. And you
I will get, I would ask, but we're way ahead of the curve. There's nothing happening.
Can I ask a question, please?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Why in the world would you want to put a basketball court in a residential area? Would you like to have a basketball court across your street, gentlemen?
If I had a room, yeah. Yeah, if I had room. All right, wait a minute. You're talking about put it in a residential area. Wait a second. Wait 1 second, sir. You asked a question. Can I answer it? Okay, let me answer it. Number one, do you have a swimming pool in your neighborhood? Do you have tennis courts in your neighborhood? Do you have a bocce? Wait, I'm answering your question, and you're not allowing me. You're not allowing me to answer the question, and it's rude. Give me a second. You have a pool, you have tennis courts, you got a club, you've got pool bathrooms, you've got bocce ball courts, you've got all of this stuff in your neighborhood, but you're telling me that the teenagers and young adults don't have the right for a basketball court. Wait a minute. They've got a basket in the middle of a parking lot where they can...
Wait, let me stop you for 1 second.
Why? Why are you stopping? Hold it.
No. I don't want you to think that I'm coming from another place.
But you are not letting me... Sir, not at the moment until you give me a moment to have my say. I am telling you something and you're interrupting me, and I am asking you to please not do that. I said I'll show you all the respect. You're going to show me the respect. All I'm saying is that I want to see if it's possible for the young people to have a basketball court. The closest building to that spot is over 150 feet away. It's not in anybody's backyard. Okay? So the problem is, nothing has happened. Nothing may ever happen. I don't understand why somebody's stirring a pot about something that I just looked into.
Okay, now can I...
Now you're, you got the field.
A year and a half ago, the former president, we complained about the basketball court, and you can back me up on this. 2.5 months, I have no children that play basketball. I don't play basketball. The kids were in the parking lot, and I said, this is the wrong place for the parking lot, for a basketball court.
Mm-hmm.
2.5 months, they gave me a place to look for it. Joe and I spent 2.5 months going to Martin County, doing perk tests, finding a no bounce, looking for the construction and finding the place. So it doesn't mean that I didn't care about it. Kids playing in the parking lot. It was my idea.
Okay.
And there's people in here who can vouch for that.
I believe you.
Okay. But don't say I don't care about kids in a
parking lot. I didn't say that.
Yes,
I'm saying that I don't want to see kids in a parking lot. And we agree.
That was my point.
Then we agree.
I did all the work.
Right.
And Mark can testify that Ray Aarons went to him and gave us the landscaping, and we picked out a place, we measured it, we knew what was going to cost $2,600. That's the price.
And where was this?
It's in the recreation area, near the bocce ball courts, in the back where the horseshoes are.
So can I, all right, I want to let you finish. I'll let he and I finish now. You're done? Okay. So now what you're telling me is you want to put it 10 feet from the backyard of people in Brighton and with lights and everything. And how?
No.
town.
And you want to put it across the street from our house.
150 feet is not 10
no,
feet.
And you're still going to put it like a second. No one's going to like where it's going to go.
Sir, he has the floor.
I spoke to people, and when you get no bounce, you hear nothing. You don't hit a basketball bouncing on concrete.
Oh, it doesn't bounce on the backboard and kids aren't yelling and the lights aren't washing the pool.
Tennis.
Wait a minute, hold it. We're starting to do the thing that I just said we're not going to do. This gentleman, stop. This gentleman has the floor. We're conversing. When he's done, I'll recognize anyone else who wants to talk. But if this turns into a melee, it's done. All right, sir, you're saying... what I'm saying...
I've seen pictures of everything.
I get it. I didn't see anything, so I didn't... I have no... Yeah.
It's not 10 feet. It's 47 and a half feet.
Mm-hmm. And how big is the court?
It's three houses.
How big is the court?
20 by 20.
I don't know where you got... A basketball court is 100 by 70. Yeah, I mean, you're talking like a minor little shoot practice. I'm talking about a basketball.
The kids are playing in a 10 by 10 now.
That's exactly why they shouldn't have to. There should be a real basketball court. But this is so far out in the future. We have situations now, and I'm not doing anything at the moment.
Excuse me. I wanted to comment on. Would you agree to look into his recommendation?
Of course I would. Of course I would. I'd look into anything. If, like I said, I don't have subjects, folks. We're all neighbors. Yeah.
Same thing you're looking at?
Yes.
And stop arguing about it. And I took into consideration the people who live in those homes.
Mm-hmm.
And I explained to three out of four people.
Mm-hmm. And they said it was okay if you had lights at all?
Sure. Just lights.
Is there lights?
The lights are on in the tennis court.
Right, but you're adding more.
We check that out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I did all the research. Believe me, every question you have, I can answer.
Okay.
Because I did it.
But you don't have a real basketball court. You're talking about where they can shoot hoops. But
that's where they shoot hoops. They shoot them in a...
I understand, and it's no good. We agree. But why would you go...
Why would you want a full court basketball court now?
So that they can play basketball? Like real games?
How many games? Are they going to want this for a full court?
You've got to look at your population. And you've got to talk to the kids that are whining about it. So, like I said, we're way ahead of this. We're so far ahead.
I don't think it's fair that kids are whining about it. It's a season.
Yeah.
If there's two kids playing basketball.
Well, they don't want to play there. They don't want to play there.
My son plays there. My son, all his friends, even living here, they go outside to play basketball.
Of course they do, and they would love a court. Ask them.
My son lives directly across. And he says, I wouldn't want to play basketball there.
Oh, he wouldn't want to play in a good court. Okay. Right. Hey, folks, if the predominance of the people don't want to provide a basketball court for the kids of this community, I don't have any kids. Go ahead. You did before. You were speaking. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Now, for you to say if you wanted it or not, people that already moved in here, you know it's a sports complex. Whether you're saying this additional light is going to offset the three people in the back there or not, you already have an area designated for a sports complex. And it's beautiful. If you want to move and make a bigger sports complex with a basketball court, and you can put it in there, now you have to either figure out what all his research that he's dealing with, and from the people in here, whether you are deciding now, or you're going to let the youth decide, a full court is warranted in here, which I'm telling you, no way is it going to be warranted in here. Budget-wise, anything. There's not enough youth in here to warrant a full court.
That'll come up with people voting.
Exactly. I would strongly disagree.
We're already mindset going forward, so don't talk as if this is not going one way and this is just a general meeting. Then we just all wait till your vote comes out and your market.
No, that's not realistic at all. We haven't done any of that. We haven't done anything.
You're making a decision saying a full court is needed for the 6 or 7
My opinion. My opinion. I'm allowed to.
The rest of us
like
don't know anything about this.
Yeah.
It's the first time I'm hearing about it. Me too. Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
And I play basketball. Okay.
Yeah. Come on over there.
Maybe you're
I will recognize. All right.
Oh, wow.
Tom, okay, I get it, and nobody's made any decisions, so I'm really understanding that you can't even think, but go ahead, back there, there's someone in the back there. You got your hand up, I'm recognizing you. That hand over there, you, yes, stand up, please. Please. I can't see you, I can't hear you. Ma'am, can you please stand up if you
mute
want to
your phone, please.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Carolina.
I can't hear you.
Neighborhood I'm in, North Carolina.
Yes, ma'am.
One tennis court with basketball. Yeah. It was super.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I'm not sure. What's your point?
Okay.
Throw
down the net. Before.
All right. Well, like I said, we're making this like this real, and it's nothing. But yes, sir.
Hey, Joe. When I heard about the basketball court or this thing, okay, and I figured out. Well, since you know, like what
John
said, you know, may be a little small. Okay, I understand. Just so what we need is a larger one, right? Okay. The lady said tennis court,
yeah,
and basketball. Correct. And this is what I did. I looked, okay, and to me,
no
it's
problem.
It's a portable hoop. You can move it in a corner of the tennis court, okay, leave the things there, and you can still play. If you want to play a full one, you buy two of them, one on one side, one on the other side. Mm-hmm. Take away the net, and there you are. You got a beautiful. You don't have to put no cement, no permits, no nothing. Just put up two things over there, and they're very reasonable. And it tells you which is the best, which is the, and they all you can move it. Anybody can move.
Okay. All right.
I will put them in the corner. Put it out the corner of the thing. Right out of the corner of the fence.
Yeah.
You got no problem.
Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am.
All right. I have two options.
Please, folks, please. Go ahead, ma'am.
Is it possible for those of us here or those of us who want to get things on the agenda?
You can.
How do we get?
It doesn't work like that exactly, but you can get in touch with your board member,
okay,
and ask them if they will bring up something, yeah, that is in the community's interest. Then they bring it up. You have a source, but it's not like a direct source the divot does. Give it to your director, and
well, we have members at large who we can contact, and we have a
well, Dee's a member at large, and you have a director in your neighborhood, so both of them could put something on the agenda.
I have a second one.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going up. Earlier in the evening, and it probably got lost in all the conversation, a comment was made that the board was going to have workshops and meetings to clean up the covenants and the rules.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to know what you mean by clean up, and it's my understanding from when we went through the covenants a few years ago that it's an expensive proposition to redo covenants, and that's one of the reasons why at that point we did it all at one time.
It's not covenants we're talking rules and regulations.
Well, you said covenants and rules.
Well, I'm sorry if I said covenants, it wasn't what I meant. It's rules and regulations.
All right, well, that's a clarification.
Sorry. Yeah, no problem. Sorry. It happens. Like I said, my eraser too.
Yeah, well, no, that's fine.
Yeah.
But that's why.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Here we raise our hand to get.
Of course, and I want to hear that because then somebody else might have misunderstood. It's rules and regulations, and it's not a total overhaul. There's a couple things that are ambiguous, confusing, and then it comes up when we try to enforce something, and then say, well, that's confusing. These are the things we're trying to do: make things clear,
right.
Clear up anything that's
and
not.
And all of that will be brought to the board.
Well, it's gonna. People can listen. They can come. They're boring as heck, but you're more than welcome to come.
And I do have one concern. We talked about fees and what people owed for various things tonight. I'm really concerned that, you know, if we have the covenant compliance officer, we're going to have more of this night after night or meeting after meeting where we're going to talk about, well, should we forgive this first infraction or what? How do we forgive infraction?
So then what you'd like to do is just do away with the rules?
No.
I don't think that's...
Well, no, I'm being facetious, Yuri, but let me talk. What I'm saying, ma'am...
What I'm saying is that I think we need to spend some time about how the protocols are going to be organized and how you as a board are going to handle this because it's your time. I mean, that's why that was on call for.
Well, ma'am, we're just trying to enforce the rules. That's all we're doing. We're not making up new ones. So you're saying that we shouldn't do it?
No.
Well, I'm confused then.
Yes. She's just talking about the fine. And
the fine. I can't say the fine.
She's bringing up a point. And
yeah, I get it.
I mean, if there's a fine, enforce it.
So the
don't
fine,
forgive fines.
The fines and
well, I agree
go
with that.
Through the covenants committee, and then the covenants committee then brings us whatever is necessary.
I just want to protect the time to speak about things that go on in the neighborhood. You know, if you break a rule, you break a rule.
And you pay.
Yeah, well, that's all we're trying to do.
Yes.
Here, I want to make a suggestion.
I'll get to you, ma'am. I'm sorry.
The villagers are going to start having village meetings, and that's the time for you all to come to your village meeting. I am a director at large, and I cover all the villages. If you have any questions, you could call me. You could call your director, because I don't want this to prolong and things get all so confused, and then we get here.
We don't have your phone number.
I'm sorry?
We don't have phone number. We're told just to email you.
I'll give you my phone number.
Okay.
And you should have my phone number if you have my email. I'll be happy to do that. I'll give it to you after the meeting.
Excuse me. Yes, ma'am, you had your hand up here.
I came to discuss something or to bring up something that happened at the last meeting that I haven't been comfortable with. I'm sorry that I took the turn of anger. That's not why I'm talking, and I'm not saying it in an angry way. I've been on many boards. I have to stand. I can't stand.
That's okay.
Okay. I've been on many boards, and when I have absolute nothing against anybody who was appointed. I'm sure you're going to do that, Ms. Jones, okay? But I've been on boards where if somebody resigns under a certain amount of time, like 2 years or a year and a half, they revoke within their subcommittee, okay? So we now have two members on the board who haven't been voted for by their village, and the way, I'm not saying you shouldn't appoint, I think that there's a way of a compromise where when somebody resigns, maybe a notice can be sent to everybody in that village to hand in their resumes to see, you know, and then select from that or have a cell phone. I think there has to be a way where it's not done the way it was done. I don't know if I'm making...
Can I add something?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was appointed. Neil was actually the one that ran against Claudius.
Yeah, and he was second.
And he was second, and he only lost by very few votes.
Okay.
I think he was a natural person to go on there.
Yes.
I'm
sure you're going to do a fabulous job. This is absolutely nothing...
So I can answer that more so like legally speaking, like the statute and the covenants as well, and all the documents have a specific way for how things work. And in the case of a member stepping down or something happens or whatnot, the appropriate legal process is to have someone appointed, because elections are by statute they have to occur in a certain amount of time.
I have no objection. What we used to do is an interim would be appointed or there would be some way. And I'm not suggesting anything illegal.
No. But in a way, you're right, ma'am. But in a way, they'll be voted on the next election. They're just appointed for a temporary time.
Yeah, but
they fill out whatever the term
was. Yeah, which is a long...
could be short or long.
But it's to the beginning.
Right, but it's still the same.
So we still have to...
Right.
Okay. So I'm not saying anything illegal stuff.
Okay.
I'm just saying maybe there's a way of saying Okay, and I'll use as an example when they switched positions. Maybe other people would have wanted to apply if somebody resigned from the head of covenant and somebody else might want.
That's been brought up. And that,
yeah, I don't want it to be personal in any manner because it isn't. I'm sure, you know, I hear how talented you are. I hear you standing up for your people. It's just, it didn't feel... Am I making myself?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you are.
You have a personal opinion, ma'am.
It is respected.
Yeah. Can I just say one thing? Part, you did bring, and that covenant situation has been brought to my attention. Now, covenants won't meet again until February, so there's nothing that can be done about that until February, but that's something that's on my radar to address with the new...
And you know what? I'm not even suggesting that anything needs to be undone.
No, but I...
You know, I'm discussing it for the future so that everybody feels that everything... There are ways of...
I brought that up last month when they were...
Yeah,
that was
things
my,
being
why I didn't
legal
vote for,
but so. Not feeling right. Yeah. And we're our community that needs to work together.
Yeah.
And we want to make it feel right.
Yeah. Yeah. And for the covenants, that's totally okay. But just to clarify, for the election, we could say that the one that we appointed is like the interim, but they would be interim until the next election cycle. So it would still be the same amount.
Okay, so then I would say when we address covenants and when it gets changed at some point, and it might not be soon, but there should be a way of having an election when it's under 8 months or under 12 months.
Well, I don't know where it was that you were, ma'am, and I respect that, but we really, I mean, this is a time-honored tradition of the board appoints a representative of the election next election. I don't see any reason to change that, personally.
I think for me the reason is that you have almost 2 years of people serving who weren't elected. So that would be my reason.
Well, but it's done by the rules. It's done by the rules, so we're not breaking any. We're just lamenting words on it. But I appreciate
she's
it.
She's not saying
we appreciate it.
She's just asking, is that a
well? That's not
thing,
right.
Which is what I brought up myself.
And you can bring it up
just
like Neil did with the other item, and it'll be voted on. It'll be voted on. Okay. All right. Okay. We're dragging this out. We're all fucking having different.
One more. There's one more gentleman.
Yes, I would love to. Yes, sir. Please. And everybody, please. Please.
She brought up one of my questions, and it's been answered. Because I was unaware, and I didn't know how when a board member resigns, suddenly how a person gets...
Sure, sir. Absolutely.
...to a year. And again, I agree, and you're doing great jobs. But so from my understanding, board itself then nominates or selects the replacement person.
That's correct.
Until the time is filled. Yes, sir.
I didn't understand how that
sure.
worked. Now I do.
Okay.
Other point is, question I had is this roving covenant enforcement officer. Who is this person?
Nobody at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay.
The gentleman started, but he was going to do two part-time jobs. The other one was with Pipers, and all of a sudden they wanted him for 40 hours. And he couldn't do both.
Who selects this person?
We did. We interviewed just like Mark interviews and hires people all the time to do things. That's what they do.
My other question is, this is the first board meeting that I'm aware of, the regular board meeting that's in the evening. Is that going to be a regular thing
yes.
now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. By the way, I need someone to make a motion. There was a good suggestion. I know, but this will only take a second, please. Before we forget it. It was a good suggestion. It was Patty, didn't you tell me? Yeah, okay, Patty told me. And it's a good suggestion that we start the meetings at 6:30 instead of 7, because at times they get a little lengthy. So if we start earlier. So I need a motion to make it 6:30 instead of...
I motion. We start our meetings at 6:30.
Okay. Can I get a second? Can I get a vote on the 6:30 for the meetings? All in favor? You're abstaining, Neil?
Yeah.
Okay. That's no problem. So we have six and Neil's...
trust me. I like to go to sleep early because I wake up early, but sometimes work.
I understand, but...
No,
I get it.
No.
Well, you should try making the 1:30 meetings. There's a killer.
That's what I didn't want to
okay,
do.
Anyway.
All right. Well,
join on the phone and then come
in. One more,
gentlemen. Yeah.
Wait a second. We have six votes.
I'll vote for that as well.
Oh, all right. We have seven votes. We have the unanimous to change the vote, the meetings to 6:30, our regular meeting. Thank you. Sorry. And I want to recognize everybody. Yes, sir.
I'm Dr. Howard. I live on Essex Court. I just have one quick question.
Yes, sir.
Did the HOA specifically pay court servicing for that survey?
No. First of all, please, there was no survey.
I watched it.
Sir, then you don't know what a survey is. Measuring something for an estimate is cost nothing.
Okay.
Zero. Okay.
Yes,
nothing. Zero. Yes?
I would like to request that the Meadows office here, my second request, be open at least one full day and not closed.
All right. This is in discussion. I'm not going to go into it tonight, but it is in discussion on what we're going to do. It is absolutely in discussion. So, yeah, just it's not tonight. It's not
no,
tonight.
No, I know. I was just.
I will tell you, though, but just come to the February meeting.
Right. Yes. Simple question.
Oh, boy. Thank you.
Who routinely inspects the playground, the new playground? And I appreciate you going and seeing what needed to be changed and modified. But is that going to be done on a regular basis for the safety of the children?
I will do it. And Mark will do it.
I go through the playground probably once a week at least.
So you try out the...
I don't you do the slide. I tried out the slide.
I want a motion that Mark has to go through the tunnel and check it.
I did not go through the tunnel, but I've been on everything.
Yeah,
I thought I'd like to get stuck in the tunnel.
Yes, ma'am, you're absolutely right.
The parents who are there with children, they might see something that concerned them, and they might
let
call
us know.
The office, but
yeah.
They might not. They might
yeah.
Just,
yeah. And if you see something, ma'am.
I don't know how to make that known among the community that to report things like that.
We've got an office.
Yeah.
Anybody
is welcome. If you see anything that we need to know, Mark needs to know, my gosh, let us know.
Sure.
Call the office and let us know. We're not going to deny your recognition. But that's a very good point. And it disturbed me like crazy. And I want to get. And I told the fellow I want it done ASAP. Protect. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. You've been waiting.
As far as the Communist Patrol,
yes.
First time I heard about it tonight.
Oh.
Has that been in effect before?
How long have you lived here?
Oh, 12 years.
Oh, okay. So you know they did away with the real roving patrol.
Right.
So now what's happened is there have been a ton of people, I'm going to say a ton because I like to emphasize, probably dozens at a time that break rules.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes unchecked, and then somebody else, they break the rule. And then somebody else breaks the rule. It starts a domino effect because nobody is policing it. Forgive me.
I get that. My only question, and I know everybody wants to go. My only question was that this is the first time I heard about it.
Okay. Yep.
And my question was whether it's already taken place at some point. Because I see people fighting on social media with their names.
Yeah.
They're saying, I got a summons for this from the office. And, you know, I think Joe Blow across the street called the office on me, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So if there's somebody out there doing covenant searches at night and, you know, during the day, you know, I just think people should know because I'll be honest with you, people are, and if anybody here is on social media, I think it's next to us, like somebody's saying, I think my neighbor called up about my car being in the street past 12 o'clock, get a light. So if there is somebody looking at the covenants, I'm not suggesting one way or the other,
but
you just know what's going on.
Maybe we can put up.
Yeah, well, that is the reason, sir, that I wanted a roving covenants person, because neighbors should not be doing what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
It should be left up to a professional who is hired, does the job, makes the report, and neighbors don't, because somebody's Ring camera, aha, I saw you, Billy, reporting me, taking a picture. We don't need that. We don't need that. Yeah. Yeah, he only did one night. We're going to hire somebody.
We have one more.
Yeah, go ahead, ma'am.
Just one more comment.
Yes, ma'am.
In going through the covenants and the rules and regulations.
Rules and regs now.
Oh, okay.
Regs now.
Everything. There's a lot of process before people actually end up paying a fine. Mm-hmm. My suggestion would be, and I probably have to bring this up to my representative,
yes,
that if they get a letter, they get a fine, there not be so many steps to get rid of the fine, because it was my understanding, and I could be wrong, that all the fines that this person that we've hired to do this job, the fines would be paying more or less his salary.
Oh, it could if eventually there could
eventually
be generated income.
Yeah, no, you know,
but
right down the road.
What it will do, it'll...
But if they keep getting forgiven, we never get the money.
I am not in favor of forgiving because people should know the rules.
Right. I'm just throwing that out.
As far as rushing the time frame, it's all statutorily regulated, so many days, notifications.
I know, and I was reading that, and you can go before the committee, and then you can request a review, and then you can do this, and it's like 100 days before you actually pay a fine.
Okay. Wait, thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
We'll talk.
Are we good people? I have a second and a third and a fourth. Everybody in approval? Entire board. And Lois has to go feed her dog. Cat. Sorry. Whatever.